I know it's a very busy day for our families. 20 years ago, I really didn't consider these days as much as I do today, far as thinking about you and what all you have to accomplish this afternoon. But the older I've got, the more I've realized family time is very, very, very important. And so I hope that you'll take that time this afternoon with your families and enjoy life. Sometimes I love just being on the back porch with a glass of tea and no phone on. Matter of fact, I forgot what that is. But I'm going to try my best to find some of them days before long. It's the little things in life and things that we take for granted so much. The Lord has shown me this scripture, I guess 8 months ago to preach this morning. As I looked yesterday within the Word of God and began to pray and seek the Lord about what we needed today, I don't have a typical Mother's Day sermon. I'm going to deal with a mother in the Bible. What I preach this morning may seem a little unusual to you, but I must follow the Lord. So if you have your Bible with you today, I want to say this as the preacher here. We're glad you're here today. And I mean that with all of my heart. And I know everybody's got a very busy agenda this evening. Let's put all that aside as Brother Steve has prayed. Would you do me a favor? Would you help me preach this morning by looking into the Word of God and seeing that what you need in your life this morning? The book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. I'm glad to be saved this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to preach the Word of God. God has allowed me the last few years to travel and preach a good bit. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like preaching in the pulpit where God has placed me at. And I appreciate that about our God, that He's got a place for me this morning in the Word of God. 2 Kings 4. Brother Mike, I'm going to ask you, my voice is very weak this morning. I want you to come, preacher. And I want you to read 2 Kings 4. And I want you to read verses 1 through 7 for me today before I preach.
Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what is thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbor, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and on her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Brother Lee, pray for me this morning. Yes. Thank you.
Father, I pray
Help me today. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing reverence in the Word of God this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. I want to preach this morning on the mother that wouldn't sell her children. The mother that wouldn't sell her children. I pinned down a few thoughts here that I'm going to share with you. First of all, notice this mother's crises. Now, within this setting, you've got to realize that Elisha has appeared. Elijah was the mentor of Elisha. Elijah has been caught up in a whirlwind into heaven by chariots of fire. Therefore, he's left his Elisha back, and God has used his Elisha. Aren't you glad that God has left you some preachers in this day and this hour to let you know not only what God used to do, but what God can do in this day and in this hour. Now you'll notice in this story as it unveils, there is a crisis that has risen. There is a lady here, and it may surprise you, but God never did mention her name. I want to say that it's not important that the world knows your name. It's just important that God knows your name. There's so many mothers that's trying to get their names in the limelights and in the banners of this world. But let me tell you, the most important place you'll ever see your name is written down yonder in Glory Land. Mama, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Therefore, we find that there is a great crisis. Now, you'll notice this crisis had to do with her husband. The Bible said that this, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Now, there's no doubt in this crisis that the husband affected this woman. Matter of fact, if any woman that is naturally right with God, and if there's anything wrong with their husband, it ought to affect that woman. And man, if there is anybody here that we need to realize, if something's not right with our wife, then it should affect us in such a way that it would disturb what's going on in our life. Now, I want to say there's a crisis had to do with her husband. There's a crisis that had to do with her children. Matter of fact, there's, as this Bible woman's husband had died, he had gotten the family into debt. And therefore, when he died, in Bible days, the creditor would come and he would collect upon the debt by your children. It was a Jewish law in Israel that they could come in and take your children that they may be able to pay the price for the debt that you have made. I want to say I'm glad I read in my Bible that there was a Bible mother rose up on the pages of 2 Kings chapter number 4 that would not let her children be sold. There's a lot of ladies that are selling their children to the creditor. They've run their life up in the world, and they've run from rag to bush, and they've tried to pay something that they never could pay, and therefore the creditor will always come back and bring it upon your children. Now, here we see this crisis that had to do with her husband. It had to do with her household. But then thirdly, it had to do with her heart. Matter of fact, if your heart cannot be touched by your husband and your household, and if your heart cannot be touched by the things that's going on in your life, and you seem like that you don't have the answer for something needs to happen for you for the good glory of God. But I appreciate people that realize that they are in a crisis and they need some help from above. Now, this crisis, the mother that would not sell her children. Not only this crisis, but look in verse number 1, there is a creditor. He appears upon the pages of the Bible. The Bible simply said that the servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons. Now, I want to say something about this creditor and life. When you look at the pages of this Bible, this lady was married to a godly man. She was married to a man that was studying under the school of Elisha. And we don't know what happened, but we do know this. God called her husband out, left her with an indebtedness that she could not pay, and it affected her children. And a lot of times we think, well, life is not fair. And I want to tell you, in many situations, life is not fair. When we look at this situation, I'd love to tell you, just because you love God and you have great discipline at your church and you're faithful to the Lord's work, it does not mean that me and you are immune to troubles. This lady no doubt loved her husband. He loved God. But for some reason, God decided to call him home. Now, she's left in such a crisis, she don't know what in the world she's going to do. It reminds me so many times, and I've pastored for many years, and I've seen family after family that seemed that everything was going good, but all of a sudden, Brother Lee, there was a great crisis that arose, and there was a creditor that showed up, seemed to be wanting something out of them that they didn't have to give. I wonder if anybody's here today and they've ever been in a situation that this world and the creditor is asking you to pay something that you don't have to give. Now, there was a creditor. You'll notice that many times in life when things come around and we can't put two and two to make four, we just got to realize this, that all things work together for good to those that love God. God does not make mistakes. There's things in my life that I thought would never happen to me or with me. But honey, I've done gone too far to turn back now. I've got to realize there's a God in heaven that loves all of His children. And there are no accidents in the life of the child of God. I noticed she was not blaming God for her crisis. She was not poor mouthing how bad God had been. Matter of fact, I want to say this morning. I sure am glad me and you didn't get what we deserved. Because if me and you got what we really deserved, we wouldn't be sitting in a pretty church this morning. Hell would have been our home, but the Lord Jesus took your place and my place on Calvary's cross. And I thank God. Lord, I'm glad when I didn't have a debt to pay, somebody come by and paid my way. I'm glad for the lovely Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world this morning. Now the creditor showed up. You know, I want to say this as your man of God today. We ought to pay our bills. We ought to do the best that we can. And if we can't pay our bills and our commitments, then we ought to talk to those that we made the deal with and do the best that we can. We live in a generation, you run your credit cards up, then you file this and file that, say, well, we got by with that. You didn't get by with nothing. And so there's a lot in this passage. I'll never preach it out, but there was a crisis involved and there was a creditor involved. Now, this creditor appeared. It was a sad situation. Now, you think about it. You put yourself in her circumstance. I don't know how long it's been since she's been from the graveyard, but she's buried her husband. She's come back home, and now she has nothing in the house. She has two sons that was dear to her. And let me tell you something. Any mama that your children can't tug at your heartstrings, you not no mama this morning. And you need to get in this Bible and get on your face before God and let the Holy Ghost make a real mother out of you this morning. Now, the knock come on the door. Ma'am, you owe this. I don't have it to pay. Well, them two boys sitting in there at your house, you said, I want them, bring them to me. They're going to, oh Lord, you just give me this. I want them to pay your debt. You better be careful how you run your bill up. Because if you're not careful, it'll cost your children to pay what you should have took care of. Now, the creditor. Sad situation. There was a loss. There was love. There was a life. But I want to hurriedly get along with what I need to preach this morning. The mother that would not sell her children. There was a crisis. There was a creditor. But look in verse 1. There was a cry. Now there cried a certain woman. Now I will say about this cry. This cry was louder than her complaint. I think our problem, our complaining is a lot louder than our crying. We should cry out to the Lord and ask Him to help us. Elisha was the only thing she knew about God or about the Word of God. But aren't you glad you got a God this morning that your cry can be louder than your complaint? I'm glad I've got a God I can cry to. Call me crybaby all you want to, but I done found out something, honey. In John's Gospel, chapter number 15, the Bible said, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. I've got to have Him. You've got to have Him. We have to have Him. And I want to say something. He loves you to want Him. The woman in her crisis. I'd love to say, you know, I'm a pretty much transparent type preacher. I don't pull any punches. I am what I am by the grace of God. I've never tried to be a phony, baloney preacher. I've tried to preach what God gives me out of my heart, just to be honest to you. And I would love to tell you that I've never had a crisis in my life, but I have. Sometimes life's bigger than I am. But I sure am glad I've got a God that's bigger than my crisis. The crisis, the creditor, the cry. Verse 2, this is an amazing thing, the command. Now, I want you to notice what happens in this Bible. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for me? What a God that when you cried, you could tell Him what you really needed. What shall I do for thee? I want to tell you something. God's interested in you this morning. God's interested in me, in individuals. God's not about numbers. God's about individual when she cried, he answered her and he said, "Well, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now this was a small cruse of oil. As I studied this out, it was just a very small container. But within that small container, it held something very precious. It was olive oil. Olive oil comes by one process. These olives go through a press. And the more these olives are pressed and beaten, the more oil that is received. The next time that you enjoy olive oil, you better remember it paid a big price that you may be able to partake of what you're eating. And I want to say in this lady's container, Elisha simply said, "What have you got?" She said, "I ain't got nothing in the house except this cruse of oil, pot of oil." Then he said, look what he says. Now this will go against the teaching of a lot of Baptist preachers. I hear people saying about when you're in debt, don't borrow. But now, and I'm not suggesting that you go borrow to where you can never pay it back. But I just want to tell you what the Bible says. It said this, "I want you to go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Now she gets this instruction. And she's cried out and he says, What shall I do for thee? He said, "What you got in your house?" She said, "I ain't got nothing there except this little pot of oil. It's all I've got." And he said, "Well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go borrow vessels from all of your neighbors." Can I say something that's not on my outline this morning? When somebody comes to you and they want to borrow, I wonder if she, when she would have come to your door, what you would have said or told her. "No, you're eat up in debt. I hear the creditors come after you." I wonder, would you have showed any mercy, or would you have been like this creditor come to her door and wouldn't showed any sympathy, any compassion, any mercy, and said, "Give me your boys." She goes to a door, knocks, and I wonder, would you have been a good neighbor to this woman? I wonder what you would have handed out your door. I don't know who them people were, but God wrote them down. And I want to remind you something this morning. When you're being good to somebody, you better remember something. God's writing it down. Boy, a whole message to do to preach on being a good neighbor. You know something, to whom much is given, much is acquired. God has entrusted many people here with many things. God has entrusted this church with so many positive things. God has not given us what He's given us to simply be a reservoir, but to be a channel. God's blessings must flow into us, but in return they must flow out of us. And I wonder, when this lady would have knocked on your door, what would you have said? A lot of times we want to be judge and jury. You know something? I find myself lately helping people. I find myself lately, and I don't believe there are no accidents. I believe God allows people to come in our lives for a purpose. And I'm talking about God has allowed people to come in my life that seems to be all used up and nobody else warned them and nobody else had trust them. But you know something? God, I want to say this morning, God, give me a chance. God, give me a chance. I'm glad He's allowed a few neighbors to open their door to me and hand me out some things that was a blessing to me down life's road. I can't stand snooty people. Can't stand them. Don't like mean people.
God tells me that I got to love everybody, but I ain't got to cook hamburgers with everybody. Amen. I don't like mean people. I don't like arrogant people, snotty people. You better be reminded today, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd have nothing to hand to anybody else. And so here, we see this command. It's so unusual. He asked her to go borrow. Now, when she went and borrowed this, the Bible says this, "When thou art come, thou shalt shut the door upon thee. Upon your son shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt not set aside that, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." The command. Verse 5, the commitment. So she went from him. Oh Lord. So she went from him, she began to knock doors. "I need some vessels." Now, wouldn't this be something right here? I noticed last week and the week before, I come back, man, that Suburban has got all kind of canned pickles, jellies. Man, give me some of the greatest salsa last week I've ever eaten. I got up last night and I had these allergies, and I went to the cupboard at midnight and I got me about 3 chips and I just started sweating. I'm going to let my son-in-law have it because he's a fire-breathing dragon. That's the hottest stuff I've ever... But it was wonderful. I said this, people give... They don't give me empty jars. They give me jars that's filled. And I wonder when she knocked on your door and you handed her out a full jar, she said, "I don't want that. I want an empty jar." You'd have looked so weird at her. Now, here, woman, you got nothing. You don't want this, but you want this. Thank God for people that'll take less that God can make something big out of it this morning. Now, this is what He told her. This goes against church all across this country. Now, I'm about done preaching. This goes against everything that they teach you now in seminary. They're not teaching preachers to preach and study and pray and get themselves filled with the Holy Ghost. They're teaching them marketing. How to be popular. How to grow a church. I tell you how to grow a church. Preach the Bible and be real and love people. He said, "That's what I want to do. When I do this miracle, I want you to close the door. I don't want the world to see." And now we got goldfish swallowing contests, we got pony rides, honey, we got everything in the world trying to draw the world in, and God has never intended His church to look like the world, act like the world, or smell like the world. Close the door! I don't want people to see how good I am! Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something? When it healed them lepers, he said, "Don't go tell nobody." Oh, but when He does something in you, you got to tell somebody. In other words, He said, "We're not going to make a spectacle out of this. We're not going to make a carnival out of this." And the average Baptist church is nothing no more than a carnival this morning. Carnival. Spectacles. Because we live in a generation that have to be entertained. What happened to preaching the Word of God and get excited about what God will do for you? Close the door. I don't know how many vessels she got. How many you think she got? I want to ask you something. My mind just runs wild. I'm not little Parker. I got a big imagination. Man, he'll get in 4 or 5 baseballs, and Renee'll pick him up from school. I'll be out preaching. She said, "You ought to see Parker James today. He'd be riding the golf cart. He'd jump off, but then he'd throw that baseball." He said, "Mimi, I just blowed up 100, run down and throw another grenade. I mean, I got a big amount." And then he'd get in behind trees. He'd start shooting all them people I've never heard of. I got a big imagination. I want to share this with you before we go home. I wonder how many doors she knocked that they didn't open. I wonder how many people missed that blessing because they closed the door in their face and God was wanting to use them to be a blessing to somebody else. Don't miss your blessing. I wonder how many vessels she got. I don't know how many she did, but oh Lord, this fixes to get better. She brings them in. I don't know how many she had, but I know she did this. She shut the door. And I noticed, oh Lord, she said, I ain't got nothing. And here's the last of the sermon. Not only the command, but look at this cure. She does what the Bible told her to do. And the thing, when she tilted that pot, it started to pour. And this is the main thrust of this message. She had in her house what would save her house. You want God to do something at your house? It ain't in somebody else's house. You want God to change and save your ministry? It's not in somebody else's ministry. It's in your ministry. Do you want God to do something in your life? It's not what you need in somebody else's life. It's what God's done to give you in your life. You've got to access it and you've got to get it in position so it'll pour out. And what she had in her own house saved her house. It didn't look like much. Don't we get used to being blessed? I wonder how many times she walked by that pot of oil when she's wondering how she's going to get her bills paid. I wonder how many times she paced the floor when she was looking at them boys, but what she didn't realize, everything she needed to fix her problem was in her house. It wasn't out there in the neighbor's yard, but God had done put it there. And I come to tell you this morning, what can fix your house is what God's done put within you. But you got to learn to place that so it'll pull out. She shut the door. You've got to shut out everybody else. You got to shut out doubts. Will it really work? It sure will if you'll do it God's way. Shut out now. She shut out fear. What if it don't work? It will work if God said it'll work. I pinned this down last night. Could y'all imagine this? Every vessel that she had empty, she started pouring it, filled them up. And the oil stopped because there was nothing else to receive it. Can I tell you this morning, God will always have more than what you need. And then I got to think about them little boys. Could you imagine them children on down life? Things got hard. Creditor come. They said, that happened to my mama years ago. But I never forgot it. Said, my mama cried out. Then my mama shut out. Then my mama got to pour it out. Now my mama stands out because she didn't sell me off to the creditors. But she run to God and asked Him to fix her situation. This morning as Miss Sherry comes, I could just imagine be playing with them little kids. Hard times come. Boy, aren't so many of you glad that you had a mother
that would hold out, that would cry out. I remember as a little boy, there was something bad happened. I was about 9 years old. I was the youngest child. My brothers and sisters were older. The two sisters had left. I remember something devastating happened. My daddy was gone. The first time I ever realized God in my home, my mama turned to me and she said, "We've got to get the Lord to help us." And I remember that night, my mama bowing down in a little bathroom, asking God to help us. This morning you may be here and you're in a great crisis. I'd love to tell you, sometimes life just don't make sense. And just because you love God don't mean crises won't happen. But I do want to tell you this, because you do love God, because you do trust God, when a crisis comes, you've got somebody that you can cry to. Say, "Lord, the creditor's come. He's asking me to pay something that I don't have." Won't you take what God's done give you and position it so it'll pour out and fix that that's wrong? This morning I open this altar around this house. I don't know what you need this morning, but I feel that I've minded the Lord. I wonder this morning, if you have anything in your life that you need, would you come? Would you bring it to the Lord? I wonder, is there anything you just need to come by and say, "Lord, thank you. Dear God, thank you for helping me. Lord, we need you and I ask you to help me." I wonder in your life, could you shut out this old world and could you begin to pour out and ask God to help you in your life? I wonder, could you this morning? My sister plays. I wonder, is there anybody in the building today that you're thankful that you had a mother that wouldn't sell you out? She cried unto the Lord, asked Him to do things at your house that she could not do herself. But that cry got her instruction. That cry got her great benefits when she responded to the instruction. Father, I bless you today. I thank you how good that you've been to me and my family. God, I need you to do some big things in my life that nobody else can do, and I know that. Lord, I try to pray daily about it. God, I feel like that I followed every instruction that I know how. I ask you to help me in my crisis. Help these people, Lord. God, I thank you for a good place to preach this morning. I bless you for neighbors that's been good to me. Help me to be a good neighbor. I thank you for Calvary. I want to thank you for Liberty Baptist Church and how good you've been to me and my family at this place. I want to thank you for a people that still love preaching and old time praising. I pray you'd add to us as you see fit. I pray you'd protect our flock. You'd keep us from the wiles and the snares and the plans of the wicked one. I plead the blood of your darling son this morning. I thank you I had a mother that I can go back in the crises of our home. How she poured out into my life. And I'm grateful to you today. I know she's in heaven with you this morning. And I'm eternally grateful for that. Thank you for the ladies that have touched my lives and has been a neighbor to me and handed me out of the door when they should have closed the door. Lord, thank you for the people that's been good to this preacher. And I pray you'd bless them for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.